How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 214 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there. Leave a review once you're on that page. You can find us on audioboom.com and log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my blog, Thunder Road, under the sports tab on the site, and you can find all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays now. This is a big week for the Thunder. Got the awards show on Monday night. This one's coming out Monday morning, but the awards show is on Monday night. And then Summer League starts later in the week. Free agency, maybe most importantly, starts later in the week. So a lot of Thunder stuff going on, and here to talk about especially the awards show, because the awards show is Monday night, and Monday night's a big night for Russell Westbrook in all likelihood. Well, big night either way. From somewhere very clearly outside and very possibly near a highway is Nikki Kay.
Well, Fred, I'm guessing that Melrose would be considered a highway with the ability of cars to move in free-flowing form compared to what you're used to in New York. So, yes. Very close to a highway, I guess, in that sense.
Are you trash-talking highways right now?
I'm trash-talking New York.
That is a new level of petty when you're trash-talking style of highway. When you're in the city most famous for traffic on highways. That's like the level of pettiness, like meshed with lack of self-awareness, there is remarkable. It's like Russell Westbrook levels of pettiness. You are wearing a photographer vest right now.
No, I am wearing a baseball cap with a cupcake with a ring on top of it right now. That is what I am wearing, and I'm wearing a photographer's vest. So it's all of the above. I love being petty. Oh, and I've got my Draymond Green quickie shirt on too. So just throw it all in there.
You realize, like, so many people in Oklahoma next year for Halloween are probably going to wear orange photographer vests.
Oh my gosh, let's start that. Let's make that a thing.
It's gonna be a thing. Think about how much like the cupcake thing became a thing. Like people, there are going to be at least a couple of people in Oklahoma who wear orange photographer vests for their Halloween costume next year.
So I do have to say that Twitter to me and social media with news and the news cycle we are now entrenched in, especially, you know, as journalists covering sports, it's overwhelming. You know, being off Twitter for 5 minutes, you miss breaking news. But I do have to say that the gems it has been gifting us all season long with photographer vests, cupcakes, et cetera, the ability of LeBron James to immediately react to Draymond trolling him, I love it. But that's upside to the, you know, chains we have in terms of following news.
It is. I tweeted this yesterday. It's the golden age of NBA players trolling other people with clothes that they're wearing. Like, that was not a thing that used to be a thing, but it's the golden age.
Sorry, I'm sitting at a coffee shop and they are moving chairs right behind me. I'm going to try and relocate, but we will continue chatting while I'm moving. This is live pod woes right here. But what was I going to say? No, I completely agree that it has really become a deal where people are unapologetic about it, and it is to fans and consumers' delight, I would have to say.
Yeah, and then there's all the funeral stuff with the Celtics and the Wizards. Like, so, and you know what the weirdest part is?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone except for Draymond denies that they did it, even though we all saw that they did it.
Do you think it's better when they just openly embrace it, or do you like the denial?
It is so much better. It is so much better with the way Draymond does it.
I kind of like the denial of it because it just makes it all the pettier.
that is true. It does make it pettier. It also like to a slight degree kind of pisses me off because it puts me in this mentality of like, how stupid do you think I am?
That is very fair.
Like the Isaiah Thomas, like when Isaiah Thomas wore all black that elimination game against the Wizards, and then they lost because the Wizards had worn all black to a game earlier in the year, and then the Celtics lost that game, and then Isaiah was like, "No, we just happened to wear all black. It was a coincidence that we all wore all black." That was a ridiculous thing. Isaiah Thomas or Russell Westbrook being like, "I don't know what you're talking about. I got this photographer's dress from a quote." Young lady in Spain.
This old thing I've had it in my closet for years.
I saw a guy and I asked the young lady if I could have the photographer's dress. Oh man, Russ. The young lady is a hilarious way to refer to her. I always love that, the young lady. That was an incredible Russ moment.
Do you think, speaking of Russell and style, do you think he has a chance of winning the fan vote? For best style?
Yeah, he's got a chance because he's like a walking version of Mugatti's Derelict campaign, right? He definitely has most recognizable style.
I appreciate it. He's also been posting on social. What was he in Paris this past week?
Yeah, a bunch of guys were. Melo was there. I think Jimmy Butler was there.
Was that all part of something to get they're doing together or different?
I want to say
it was fashion.
I think they were just there for fashion week. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were just there for fashion week.
Do you have any predictions for best fashion at the awards show? Like who will come in hot on the red carpet?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's go. Who are you thinking? You're obviously thinking of someone.
I also don't really know who's going to be there who's not a finalist, right? Like, I mean, I know people are presenting, but do you think Dwayne Wade going to be there? Because he's got some fun style.
Dwayne Wade might be there.
Yeah. I'm also excited to see what Dirk is wearing when he's presenting an award. That's going to be, he's got some, did you see that Instagram post he had earlier?
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic. And the huge sweater?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, he's got some Tim Duncan fashion sense a little bit.
Yes. And do you remember that post last year where Tim Duncan's just waiting in line at Old Navy with everyone else?
That's awesome.
Sorry, I digress. I kind of just commandeered your pod.
That's so great. Tim Duncan just waiting in line at Old Navy is really fantastic. I don't know if Russell is gonna wear like something, you know, adventurous and particularly flamboyant like he often does. I'm not totally convinced that he's gonna do that.
I agree too.
The Oklahoma Hall of Fame earlier this year, like he wore, I mean, it was a nice tux, but just kind of wore sleek. You know, sleek, solid black tux, black bow tie. And he wore violet shoes.
He had the detail on the shoes.
Yeah. But in terms of the tux, it was just a solid black tux. Like it was not an extremely adventurous or flamboyant outfit or anything like that.
Exactly. And I do feel like with the attention or with the spotlight so much on him with, you know, that award he might be up for, I don't know, might be a finalist for, we'll see what happens. But no, I think he has shown with like what you said at the Oklahoma Hall of Fame, that when the spotlight is brighter on him, he kind of keeps it simple.
What do you think about the award? I mean, okay, you agree Russ is going to win MVP, right?
Yes. So I'm with you.
Yeah, there's the Reddit documentary. If you're listening to a podcast, you probably know what Reddit is. And there are the Reddit documents that you can find if you just Google them, which have been tracking award voters who release their ballots, because the NBA does release the individual voters' ballots, but only after they've actually announced the awards. So I don't know if they're going to do it later Monday night after the awards, like immediately after the awards are announced, they post them online, or if they're going to do it Monday or whatever they're going to do. But at some point, very shortly after the award is actually announced, the NBA is going to be announcing who voted for whom of the 100 voters who had votes for each of the awards. And some people have released their awards on, you know, who they voted for on Twitter and whatnot. And there's a Reddit document tracking who everybody voted for. And Russell, not every single person released on social media who they voted for, who had a vote. But Russell is pretty much running away with that.
So, yeah, wasn't he by far and above at least, 75 votes ahead of James Harden at this point? Or, I mean, from some generic tally I had last checked in, right?
Yeah, I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but it was enough to where it's like, he's going to win. Plus, just from my extremely anecdotal conversations of me talking to, you know, friends who have votes and that kind of stuff, like, he's going to get...
Your friends in high places?
My friends in higher places than I.
Someday soon, Fred, you too will have a vote. Someday soon.
I think it's pretty clear he's going to win, and then it's going to be Harden, and then it's going to be Kawhi. And those are the three finalists. Those are the three guys who are invited as finalists to the show. I think it's pretty clear it's going to be Russ, and then Harden, and then Kawhi. And then LeBron will obviously be fourth when the full voting comes out. What do you think Russ is going to... I don't know. Okay, here's the thing. I don't know what the show is going to be like. I don't know if it's going to be like an exact facsimile of the Oscars, or if they're going to try to make something different. I assume there's a speech, right?
Can we just talk about how instead of the Oscars, we should be comping it to like the Nickelodeon Teen Choice Awards? Like, I don't know. This to me just, it doesn't seem...
So you don't like the idea?
Yeah. Sorry, I moved locations and now the dumpster truck is following me. Jeez Louise. No, but, I don't think, oh my gosh. This is,
wait, can you just give us a play-by-play of the garbage truck.
So first of all, I am sitting in a parking lot on, you know how in parking spaces they have those little cement blocks? I'm currently sitting perched on top of one of those. It's sunny out, it's nice, but the drivers of the dump truck are now out of the dump truck. They are, look at that form. They're wheeling up the garage-like doors and now currently moving the dumpster bin out with such finesse. There's two guys. So this is, oh, wow. And it's going on the lever. This is some great pod material right now. Oh, my gosh. The crane's up. It's going. And it's gone. Wow, with the great... Oh, my goodness.
You can really hear that smashing. This is all... Oh, my goodness.
Thunderous.
This is all-world podcasting. So what do you think? You don't like the award show?
I mean, it's hard to say you don't like something that hasn't happened yet. I don't like the idea of it. I don't like that you're still continuing... This was the funniest thing I've heard about the situation that the NBA has put itself in with the award show. They literally began next season with the draft before wrapping up this past season with the award show. I mean, they're stomping all over their own narratives and the excitement they're trying to create.
Everyone's bashing the award show. And it's funny because, like, I'm a very judgmental and pessimistic, and I'm like always ready to complain about something. But I don't know. I'm waiting on it. I feel like it definitely could be really bad and kind of stupid. And I feel like that's a extraordinary possibility. But I also have no idea what it's going to be. So I'm just kind of waiting on it and waiting to see what it is, even though I'm not even like an award show person in general.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you know, it's going to be a spectacle, or at least attempt to be a spectacle. I'm not complaining that they're bringing in Drake, that they're having entertainment. I do believe that the hype around the awards in general has subsided a little bit because of the timing. But like for you, you get to go to the event, right?
Yeah. I will be there.
So tell me about, I mean, I guess this is also, like you said, your first time covering something like this, but what will be your responsibilities? And like, do you get to have fun while you're there? Or tell me about the roles of a journalist at a black tie event.
I have no idea. I have no idea if they're going to throw us in a corner and I'm just going to kind of be there sitting on the floor with, you know, with my laptop in my lap for 4 hours. Like, there is really hasn't been any information given to us. I know there's a red carpet, and I know I'm supposed to be covering the red carpet, and then I'm supposed to be covering the show, but I don't know what that entails. So to me, it's just like, I'm just broaching it like, all right, I guess I'm deadline writing, and that's kind of it.
I think that you should be live tweeting all fashion updates from the red carpet. I will be definitely following along on your Twitter for those updates. But yeah, no, it's going to be very interesting to see. It's you're right. It's funny that people have all pegged it as a complete flop, and we haven't even gotten to the awards show yet.
I feel like people are going to like it because I feel like so many people are going into it with a negative mentality. That they're gonna look at it and be like, oh, you know what? Like Drake is hosting, and I like Drake, and they're just kind of forgetting that Drake is hosting, and they're gonna go in and they're gonna be like, oh, Drake was pretty good, and then they're gonna be like a couple musical performances, and they're gonna be like, oh, that was good, and then like someone's gonna win something and give a decent speech, and they'll be like, oh, that was decently impactful, and like it's not going to be a thing that people are talking about on like Wednesday, but it's going to be a thing that like when it's over, people are going to be like, that was all right. That was fine.
Yeah. It was unbearable. Sorry. Dumpster garage is officially shutting down right now. Okay. And we're good. No more clanking. No, I agree. I do think that in general, when people have low expectations for something, it sets the stage to be pleasantly surprised, which, you know, could be a good thing. But I just hope they fix the timing of the show moving forward.
So I'm with you. I think the timing is interesting, but it's hard to get, like, you're not going to get players there in the middle of the playoffs. Because a lot of these guys, like, if you're going to do it in the middle of the playoffs, like maybe Russ is able to go, but if you do it in the second or third round or something, but James Harden probably isn't, Kawhi probably isn't. You can get the Rookie of the Year guys, but like Eric Gordon probably isn't, Iguodala probably isn't, Lou Williams probably isn't. I mean, these are your Coach of the Year's candidates probably aren't. D'Antoni and Popovich and Rudy Gobert, and like these are all finalists. It's Draymond Green. These are all finalists for awards. Like a lot of those guys just aren't going to go, and then it's like, well, what is the point? It's the Pro Bowl of award shows.
You're right. I completely agree.
So they kind of had to do it now.
Yeah, but like even before the draft, do you think they had to do it before the draft? I mean, after the draft, sorry.
I mean, the problem is that like the game 7 of the NBA Finals was supposed to go and it was supposed to be like June 19th or something.
Fred, we've got a conundrum on our hands.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do it, you either have to move back the draft, which is doable. You can, like the draft can be after free agency starts. That's the way it is in football. The draft is after free agency starts. It's not, like, a thing you can't do. But if I don't think you should, like, move around the calendar just for an award show. If you have other reasons for moving the draft, then cool, move the draft. I'm not, like, some sort of draft purist that says the draft has to be the third or the fourth Thursday in June or whatever it is every year. Like, I don't care. But if I just think moving it because you want to have a better awards show is would be weird. But I do actually agree with your premise. Like, the momentum for this has definitely subsided a lot more than it was, you know, from where it was at in April.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that.
Sorry. What were you saying?
Go for it. Because I was mentioning the topic. Nikki K, talk.
We had all the hype, and then it was kind of like, all right, well, we now know what happened. But yeah, maybe it's a little ring on top of a cupcake, you know, to a fun season. We'll see.
Hey, the NBA has certainly kept the drama up since the end of the year.
Yes.
Between the trades and the Paul George stuff and the LeBron and Draymond trash talking, and it's so much. I want to go through each award because this is actually a basketball podcast. So let's go through each award. Give me like a quick answer as to who you think is going to win. All right. MVP, the finalists are James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Russell Westbrook.
Going with zero. I'm taking Russell Westbrook on this one. How about you?
Yeah, he's going to win. He's going to win.
Yeah.
Rookie of the year, Malcolm Brogdon, Joel Embiid, Dario Saric.
I'd like to see Brogdon win, especially, I mean, he'd be, I think, the lowest ever draft pick to win the award. I mean, Mark Jackson was 18th and Brogdon was 36 overall. So I think.
Is that right?
I think. Yeah. Yeah. I think that.
I didn't know he was, but I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, and Embiid just played 31 games. I don't think there's any denying that he could have up and won the award had he played more. But it's going to be interesting to see how that process goes next year with Saric emerging too.
I think Saric is going to win.
Okay.
But I would have voted for Brogdon.
Yeah, because do you factor in their playoff campaign in terms of...
No, you can't. Regular season award. Votes went in you know, the last day of the regular season.
No. What I mean is that Brogdon helped the Bucks push to a postseason birth. You know what I'm saying? Like that he did play with a little bit more in, you know...
No, I don't factor that just because... Like, it's not Saric's fault that the Sixers didn't make the playoffs. They're just not a good enough roster. And Malcolm, like, if Saric had Chris Middleton and Giannis and, you know, I should say half of Chris Middleton for a year and then half a season from Jabari Parker and the full year of Giannis, like, he'd have a much better chance of making the playoffs, too. The reason I say Brogdon is because Saric is so far to go defensively, and Brogdon is, like, legitimately good defensively. Shot strong percentages this year. I mean, Saric is going to win, I think, because Rookie of the Year is just – it's a points-per-game award.
Yeah.
It's like six-man a lot of the time. Like, it's a points-per-game award. It so often just goes to the best counting stats for a rookie, and Saric has a little bit better counting stats than Malcolm Brogdon. And Saric is really good. Like, he's a really good offensive player, and his shot – he found his shot second half of the year. He was scoring like crazy. He's a really good passer, too. Really good passer. But I just – I would go Brogdon. He's a much better defensive player.
You know who Saric looks like?
I do. I always think he looks like someone, but I don't remember who. I always forget who I think he looks like. Who do you have?
D'Artagnan of the Three Musketeers. Or he looks like he could be one of the Three Musketeers, I should say.
100% does.
Give him a little sword and he's good to go.
Sixth man is Eric Gordon, Andre Iguodala, Lou Williams.
And this is one of those, I mean, if the postseason were, if we are going off of what we saw in the postseason, I think Iguodala obviously just had a phenomenal push, especially in the Cavs series. But I'm going to go with Eric Gordon on this one. How about yourself?
Yeah, I just complained about how sixth man is a points per game award. But
yeah,
I would say Eric Gordon too. He was so good in the first half of the season.
Yeah.
That I think that kind of got it for him. Iguodala's great. He's great. But Gordon was so good in the first half of the season that he just shot the lights out and was so important to that team that I would go with Eric Gordon on this one. I He would be my vote, and I think he's going to be the guy who's going to win.
Yeah.
Coach of the year is Mike D'Antoni, Greg Popovich, and Eric Spoelstra.
So I have a compromise we propose on this one. I think we should just name the award the Greg Popovich Coach of the Year Award. And that way we give proper tribute to Pop every year, but we don't have to give it to him, right? So
doesn't get too boring.
Yeah, exactly. So that way, you know, you're doing all that you need to. But I liked how Spoelstra finished the season. Obviously, I think what they finished with a record of 30-11, but you can't discount how they started the season. I mean, it's the Coach of the Year award for a reason. So as much as what I liked Miami putting together towards the end of the year or the second half of the year, I'm going to go with D'Antoni. It was cool seeing him and Harden have success together and Harden thriving in a true point guard position. And I do think that D'Antoni coaching James also helped James be an MVP candidate this season. So I'm going to go with Mike D'Antoni. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be D'Antoni too. But another situation where I would not have voted for who I think is going to win. I would have voted for Pop.
Yeah.
The award is not yet named for him. So
yes, very true. I tried to get that out of the way, but you're right. There's no denying.
I'd have voted for Pop. Like Sixth Man of the Year usually just goes to the coach of the team that surprises the most. That's so often what it is. And the irony is that Greg Popovich's success hurts his own Coach of the Year candidacy because people just assume they're going to be good because Greg Popovich is there, and because of that, he doesn't surprise anyone. But this year's team should have surprised people. Like, they should have fallen off massively.
Me.
They should have. Yeah. Their defensive personnel was way worse. They were giving Pau Gasol significant minutes, and they turned Dwayne Dedman into it. Like, Dwayne Dedman was not a real contributor coming into this year, and look at what they did with guys like Dwayne Dedman and Jonathan Simmons, and they were the number one defensive team in the league again when they lost so much defensive personnel. And I figure that they would still be good because they had Kawhi and they had Danny Green. And LaMarcus Aldridge is a pretty solid defender. But I didn't think they would be number one again. I thought they would fall down and be closer to 10th than first. And it's just a tribute to how brilliant Greg Popovich is and how consistent he makes that organization. And I'm happy to award Coach of the Year because you're just consistently winning 60. I don't need it to be a one-time thing when you're getting up over 55. Like, I'm happy to give it to you because you just keep your team at 60 every year.
Yeah. He's a GOAT. He's a coaching GOAT for, you know, and we're lucky. I did not peg the Spurs to have the success. I mean, I thought obviously they'd be, you know, in the conversation, but 61 wins. I didn't expect that, and they did it yet again. So shame on me for not giving Pop the credence he deserved at the start of this past season.
Most improved, Giannis, Rudy Gobert, Nikola Jokic.
It's hard for me to even listen to names past Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm going for the Greek freak is who I would have voted for and who I think is going to win it. What about you?
Is it hard for you to listen past it because you hear the name and continually think about the pronunciation after the way?
Yeah.
After your extremely precise pronunciation of Antetokounmpo.
Oh yes. Let's just throw together as many consonants as we can get and hope for the best.
Giannis, I think Giannis is going to win too, and he'd have had my vote.
Defensive
player of the year, Rudy Gobert, Draymond Green, Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, this one to me is a closer argument because I think each of the candidates or finalists bring something different, but they're all so good at what they do defensively. If I had to guess, I think Kawhi Leonard's going to win, be a little three-peat in for him, but I think I would vote for Draymond.
I think Draymond's going to win.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Draymond or Gobert. I think Kawhi's going to be third.
Okay.
I think Kawhi's going to be third. I think maybe Kawhi will make it closer because a lot of people probably vote based on reputation and history with this. But yeah. I think the voters are smarter on Defensive Player of the Year than they were like 10 years ago.
Okay.
When they were just voting on like blocks and steals. And I think it's going to be Draymond or Gobert. I think there's a lot more emphasis put on actual quality of rim protection as opposed to just like flashy defensive play.
Yes.
And obviously you're getting that with both of those guys. My guess is it'll be Draymond because he's the higher profile player on the higher profile team, which was actually a spot ahead of Utah, I think, defensively. I think the Warriors were second in defense. And I think Draymond has the versatility that Gobert doesn't have. My guess is that Draymond is going to end up winning. Plus, Draymond has been second the last 2 years. And I can see a voter saying, yeah, Kawhi was a little bit worse this year than he was the last couple years when he won. Draymond deserves one at this point. Gobert will get one, but Draymond deserves one at this point. This will be his third year in the top three in a row. Just throw Draymond first. No one's going to complain. So I think it's going to be close. I think he's going to win on a plurality of first place votes, not a majority. But I don't feel completely confident in it, but I'm going to guess that it's Draymond.
Yeah, and this is one where you don't know, like you haven't followed Reddit. Are there even any lists right now out with who voted for who with this award?
I have not done my homework enough to check.
Yeah, okay. I mean, like, I didn't know if you actually knew or not, and we're just kind of being like, oh, I'll postulate on this one.
I'm looking it up. I'm checking to see if Reddit has something.
Google it.
Yeah, I can't seem to find it. I found that Mark Stein said his Defensive Player of the Year is Draymond Green, so he's got a 1-0 advantage already.
There we go. But yeah, so who would you have voted for?
I think I would have voted for Draymond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in accordance on that one.
Yeah, I think I would have gone Draymond. He's such a versatile, important player for them. And Gobert is amazing too. I don't remember exactly what the numbers were because, again, it was so long ago, so I don't feel like I can have as proper a debate as I did with, like, I had like John Hamm on my awards podcast, but I think I'd go Draymond, simplistically breaking down like his versatility while still being a tremendously underrated rim protector. Not as good of a rim protector as Rudy Gobert is the best one in the league, but his ability to step away from the rim while still being a tremendous actual rim protector. I think kind of gave it to me. Like, Draymond is their defensive system. The reason they can play the way they do is because of the existence of Draymond. And it's, people talk about how teams want to play like the Warriors defensively, but you can't really replicate what they do defensively if you don't have Draymond, and nobody else has Draymond. So Gobert is more of a conventional mode of a great defensive player, and Draymond is this guy where it's like, wow, we haven't really quite seen this before in this style of NBA. So I think it's pretty amazing to watch him defend. So Gobert's amazing. It's super close. I have no problem saying Gobert at all. That's fine.
Yeah. But I
just, I'm choosing now. So let's go, Draymond. Yep.
Fair enough. I agree with you.
Yeah. Wait, you got anything else before we go?
No. I mean, it's another exciting night in the NBA. The drama continues, I feel like.
What do you have to plug? What do you got going on? Tell the people your Twitter and such.
Oh, follow me at Nikki K, KFOR. I'm going to tweet out a picture here shortly of the view that I have while podcasting with you, Fred Katz, and I appreciate your forgiving acceptance of the ambient noises we've had here in Los Angeles.
The garbage truck. Classic garbage truck. You can remember. Yeah, classic garbage truck.
Perfect. Classic dumpster pod.
You can remember him on every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Head out to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. Questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter, @FredKatz, FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. So I've got some draft coverage and extra stuff up there now on Thunder Road, which is my blog, and you can see all my team coverage there. I've got going to have an awards show preview up there either late Sunday or Monday morning, which is going to be previewing the awards show, and obviously Russell, who will most likely win MVP that night. Next day, I'm going to have another Russell Westbrook MVP story. I'm going to have some other stuff out. And then there's going to be free agency coverage starting, summer league coverage starting. I'm all over the country. So I'm in New York for the awards show now, which is happening on Monday night. Going back to OKC for a couple days. Then I head to Orlando for a week for summer league. Then I head to Vegas for a week for Vegas summer league, even though the Thunder don't actually participate. I'm going to be there for that. So I'm all over. Nikki, you're in California. I'm going to be all over the place the next 3 weeks because of this.
You're going to have just the best travel adventures ever, Fred Katz. It's going to be so much fun.
I think Vegas will be better than Orlando.
No, that's up for debate.
No offense to Orlando.
I don't know. I don't know, Fred.
I'm just going to
give Orlando a chance.
I'm going to the hottest summer locations. That's the problem with Summer League. They do it in like the places that are so damn humid.
You do not like the heat.
No, I don't like the heat at all. I don't understand why they can't do Summer League in, like, Montreal. That would be nice. Do it in, like, Calgary. That would be great.
Okay, New York. Okay.
I'd be perfectly happy if Calgary Summer League would be awesome. Utah Summer League is fine, but no one goes to Utah Summer League, so...
That one's definitely off the radar. That's like off the grid.
I'm stuck in the triple digit heat of Orlando and Vegas. It's tough. All right.
I feel so bad for you.
Yeah. Yeah. You should. Nikki, you good?
Yeah, I'm good. You?
I am wonderful. I'll be back on Wednesday. Thank you, Nikki, for coming on. Until Wednesday, though, Locked On Thunder is locking up.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.